Couple of weeks ago, we started the Machshava of Shabbos, beginning to explore some of the Hashkafic depth of keeping Shabbos, mindful of Rabbi Twersky's insight with which we began several weeks ago, based on the Chovos HaLevavos, that if Shabbos comes around 50 times as often as Yom Kippur or Purim or Shavuos, so perhaps that indicates to us that in terms of our spiritual nutrition, we need Shabbos that much more frequently than those Yomim Tovim. So although the rarity of the Yomim Tovim tends to draw our attention more, and the familiarity of Shabbos tends to reduce our focus on trying to understand it because it is sort of a given, it becomes a fixture. In fact, if we're going to take our Avodas Hashem seriously, it behooves us to invest in really trying to understand and appreciate the meaning behind Shabbos, not only to learn the Dinim of Shabbos, which is critical, but to learn the meaning of Shabbos so that we can really milk it for all it's worth, so we can really access the type of growth and deepening that Shabbos offers, the potential that Shabbos offers. So the last couple of weeks we spent some time thinking about the first essay in Chaim Friedlander's collection of essays on the Machshava of Shabbos, where it was really a focus on Shabbos and the Mun. And I want to turn our attention now to Chaim Friedlander's second essay, and to open this up, Shabbos appears, as we've said in the past, the four major presentations of Shabbos, most of the major presentations of Shabbos and Chumash are in Chumash Shemos, unlike the Moedim, where the major presentations are in Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. And over the course of Shemos, Shabbos is mentioned quite a number of times, four major presentations of Shabbos and Chumash Shemos. And last time, again, as we said before, our focus is on the first two, on the Kal Yisrael first meet Shabbos in the context of the Mun in Parshas Beshalach. And we also spent a fair amount of time in Chaim Friedlander's first essay looking at the second major presentation, which is in Parshas Yisrael, Aseres Hadibros. Then there is Kisisa, the third major presentation, where it's Shabbos as an Os. Part of that is the Psukim that we say in the Shabbos morning Kiddush, V'sham B'nei Yisrael Sa Shabbos. We turn our attention now to the fourth of the four major Shabbos presentations in Chumash Shemos, and that is in Parshas Vayakel. And in the Psukim in Chumash, there isn't that much. Vayak Vayakel, Moshe is called Das B'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu brings the Klal Yisrael together. Vayomar Aleim, Eila Dvarim Shatziv Hashem Lasa Ososam. Here are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rules. Here are the ideas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that we should do. And Chaim Friedlander points out that Rashi tells us, this Vayakel, this is the day, Yud Aleph Tishrei, the day after Yom Kippur, the day after Moshe had come down from Har Sinai for the last third and last time, bearing the second set of luchos, palpable expression to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a second chance. He's accepted our tshuva. We're going to get a second chance, a second set of luchos. The very next day, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Klal Yisrael together. And what's the opening shiur? So as we know, the bulk of Vayakel is about the Mishkan and the Big Day Kahuna. The bulk of Vayakel is Moshe's conveying to Klal Yisrael what Hashem taught him in Truma Tetzaveh. But before then, before we get to Mishkan, first, Eila Dvarim, Six days a week, you do malacha. But the seventh day, you cease. Shabbos Shabbosan. Kol osibo malacha yumas. Can't do malacha. Very, very severe. The Torah adds one more detail. Lo sevaru esh b'chol moshe seichem. A highlight on one of the malachos. The malacha of fire making. And there, that's it. And then the Torah moves on to a very lengthy presentation of Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Klal Yisrael about the Mishkan and Big Day Kahuna that they are commanded to make. So in the previous essay, Chaim Friedlander had focused on the fact that that how Klal Yisrael first meet Shabbos, their first encounter with Shabbos in the context of the month. But here's another first. Shabbos is a first. Hamitzvah Rishona Shenitztavu B'nei Yisrael Aydei Moshe Rabbeinu B'ritah Me'har Sinai Ha'isir Shmiras Shabbos. That's fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down for the third time, and now he's here to stay. Remember, he came down after 40 days after Shavuos. He was supposed to begin to teach the Jewish people the Torah, but that day is a day that we mark next week. It's the Shiva Asur B'Tammuz. That became the day that instead he broke the first set of Luchos. That didn't go as planned. Instead, that happened Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur comes down, the second set of Luchos, and now he's finally down. Take two. Let's start giving Shiurim. The first topic is Shabbos. Fascinating. And then right after that, and more on that in a moment. But then what comes immediately on its heels, on the heels, of course, of Shabbos is Mishkan. Tells the Jewish people, we need to set aside, to donate for Mishkan. And that becomes a major focus for the rest of Chumash Shmos. What's the significance of these being neighbors, Shabbos and Mishkan? Tamlus Michazum, for our Rashi. Rashi explains based on multiple Gemaras and Masach Shabbos. Hiktim lehem azar Shabbos letzivim melachas haMishkan. Before Moshe starts the major topic of Mishkan, he prefaces it with a brief reference to Shabbos. Lomar she'eino docha es haShabbos. To let you know that although Mishkan is so significant, but not at the expense of Shabbos. 6 days a week you build a Mishkan, but not on Shabbos. But it's more than that. It's not just that it happens that you cannot build Mishkan on Shabbos, but as we know, Gemara, he points to Gemara in Daf Ayin, also Gemara in Daf Mem Tes. Matzinu shelemeidem me'ela advarim ki lamates malacha shayu b'mishkan, Asr la'asos in b'Shabbos. It's not only that the Mishkan happens to be limited by Shabbos, that making the Mishkan cannot happen on Shabbos, but it's more than that. Making the Mishkan is the paradigm. It is the prototype of what you can't do on Shabbos. What you and I don't do on Shabbos is based, as we know, on the Mishkan. Lamites Malachas. How do we know the Lamites Malachas? The Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel on Shabbos. The seventh parak of Masechet Shabbos has those who learned Daf Yomi got to it around a month and a half ago. The list of the Lamites Malachas. Where does that list come from? So Gemara Memtes says in the fourth parak by Metomnim, the Gemara says, "Oh, the dominant explanation of the source of Lamites Malachas is, well, those were the steps that were needed. Those are the processes that were used in building the Mishkan. They worked with cloth and they worked with leather and they were making dyes and so on and so forth. And the entire list of Lamites Malachas is populated based on looking at what did they do in the Mishkan. What they did in the Mishkan becomes a prototype for what's called Malacha. Because again, the Torah here says, Shabbos you can't, 6 days a week you can do Malacha, but Shabbos you can't do Malacha. And it's very severe, capital crime. Kol Osba Malacha Yumas. And it's so pointedly ambiguous, deliberately ambiguous. The Torah says you really have doing malacha and Shabbos, very severe capital crime. What's malacha? This is not very operational. How am I going to implement these dinim? I can't do malacha. High stakes, but what's malacha? See here, the Torah indicates, oh, you know what malacha is? Whatever they did to make the Mishkan, that's malacha. That's what you cannot do on Shabbos. Okay, so that's a din that we're familiar with. But it behooves us to ask, well, what does this mean? Is it just technical? Oh, the Torah wanted to tell me a list of Lamites Malachas, so, you know, it happens to be those things that happen to be in the Mishkan. Is it merely technical? Just happens to work out that Mishkan is the construction of the Mishkan involved those processes that happen to also be the Avos Malachas? Isn't there something more? It's not just that it just happens to work out that those steps that were in the Mishkan are also those steps that Kadosh Baruch Hu had in mind for Isur Malacha Shabbos. You get the impression there's something deeper at play here. But what is it? What is it about Mishkan making that's inimical to Shabbos? I mean, after all, if anything, Mishkan making and Shabbos are both exercises in Kedusha. We could phrase the question this way. Shouldn't have been Adrabah, those things they did in making the Mishkan. That was Kalal Yisrael's first great communal experiment, one of the first communal experiments in Kedusha, certainly creating Kedusha. We're going to make a Mishkan. Wow, we're the Am Segula. Kadosh Baruch Hu told us that as a lead up to Shavuos. Then we haven't yet had the chance to act on it. And now we're going to do it. We're going to make a Mishkan. We're going to create a Makom Mekudesh. We're going to create sacred space. That's amazing. We create a place, so to speak, an address for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Olam Hazeh. That's extraordinary. I would have thought making a Mishkan is what Shabbos should be. You're adding Kedusha. So it's intriguing. We're so used to the idea that Mishkan, that Melechas HaMishkan is the paradigm, is the source for Melechas Shabbos. If you think about it, sort of odd. Making a Mishkan is the classic example of what you don't do on Shabbos. Shouldn't it be the reverse? They're both about Kedusha. So that requires some understanding. And then he says a second question. Also about that opening pasuk. Vayakhel Moshe, listen to the following medrash. Vayakhel Moshe. Moshe gathers Klal Yisrael as a kehila, as a community. So the Yalkut Shemoni, which is a collection of earlier medrashim, I believe the Art Scrollian term is an anthology. The Yalto Yalkut means it's a gathering, an anthology of earlier medrashim. So Yalkut quotes the following comment: Rabbi Seinu Bali Agada Omrim. Those Chacham who specialize in Agada were sensitive to the language here, not only to the content. That's what we were talking about: content of Shabbos next to Mishkan. What does it mean? Let's also look at the phraseology. Vayakel, such a unique word. Mitchilas hator v'ad sofa ein ba parsha shenemer barosha vayakel. Ella zos bilvad. Throughout Chumash, the only time that a topic is introduced as with the word vayakel, Moshe gathered the community together, it's only here. And that's interesting. It's all the more interesting because, you know, it describes something that probably happened all the time. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered Klal Yisrael together to teach them halachas. So again, Rashi quotes in the beginning of Parashat Kedoshim, maybe sometimes Moshe may have taught to different sized groups at different times, but it's a word that once you start thinking about it, we should see this word often, Vayakel Moshe. Isn't it intriguing? The only time we hear that word of Moshe gathered the entire Kehila in order to teach them Torah, the one time that Torah uses that phrase is here by Shabbos. Shabbos leading into Mishkan. So the Medrash, the Balya Medrash were sensitive to that. And they give the following explanation. So you know what the Torah is indicating by you reserving that phrase specifically for here? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shlomo is saying as follows. Asei lecha, he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Asei lecha kihilos gedolos, gather the Jewish people in large groups, vayakel, udrosh lefneim berabim hilcha Shabbos, and teach Shabbos in a very public fashion. Teach hilcha Shabbos in a very public fashion. Why was that important? This marriage sounds like now, maybe at other times Moshe Rabbeinu would teach in smaller groups. But here he was meant to teach in very large groups. In the lecture hall, so to speak. Right? This is not 5-10 around the seminar table. This is 300 in the lecture hall. Or 600,000. Why? Why was it important for Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Klal Yisrael right after Matan Torah, to teach Klal Yisrael Hilcha Shabbos in such a large group? You're role modeling for future generations, for Rabbanim and future generations, lahakil kihilos b'chal Shabbos v'Shabbos, to gather Klal Yisrael as communities every Shabbos, v'likanez b'bei batei medrashos, and to come into the batei medrash in groups, l'lameidu l'haroth l'Yisrael divrei tori yisr v'heter, to teach halacha shiurim, and perhaps specifically hilcha Shabbos shiurim, learning and teaching Hilcha Shabbos publicly on Shabbos, that's rooted in the word Vayakel. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to model for Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Okay, why? So that my great name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, will be praised, will be exalted amongst my children, amongst Klal Yisrael. Wow. Interesting. Interesting twist there. And the first step here is just a fascinating observation about the word Vayakel and that it's so rare. And once you start thinking about it, it's interesting that it's so rare. You would have expected to find it more frequently. And why here, if it is so rare? Point number two is that what this is teaching us is the importance of having public shiurim on halacha and specifically Hilcha Shabbos on Shabbos. That's perhaps somewhat similar to the idea that Gemara is in the Masachas Megillah about Hilchas Pesach b'Pesach, Hilchas Atzeres b'Atzeres, Hilchas Chag b'Chag. Gemara says based on Psukim in Parshas Hamor that there's a special kiyum above and beyond the general kiyum of Talmud Torah, a special added kiyum of learning the halachas of Yontif on the Yontif. So here, Medrash sounds like saying something similar about learning Hilcha Shabbos, or maybe even halacha in general, on Shabbos. And specifically in groups, in large groups. Interesting. And then, at the end, the Medrash says what you accomplish is not only sort of learning halacha, learning Hilcha Shabbos on Shabbos, it creates a special Kiddush Hashem. Shmi HaGadol Miskaleis Bein Banai. That's interesting. It causes a praise of Ribbono Shel. Why? The Medrash goes on to say, Amar Moshe Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu explains this to Klal Yisrael in the following way. Im atem osim keseder hazeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu male aleichem ki'ilu himlachtem oso ba'olamo. If you do this, if you follow this model, this paradigm, if you're going to learn halacha, and specifically Hilcha Shabbos, Berabim on Shabbos, it's an act of Hamlochas Hashem. That's interesting. Oh, is it Rosh Hashanah? I mean, it's a mitzvah, learning halacha, learning Hilcha Shabbos, learning on Shabbos, gathering. Yeah, mitzvah, but what? It's Malchu. In what way? More than any other mitzvah, this type of limud on Shabbos is mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you would have heard this on Rosh Hashanah, I wouldn't have been so surprised. We don't usually think about Malchus Hashem as a Shabbos theme. Yesh lahavin, keitzad limud Hilcha Shabbos, rabbin, yesh b'vashem hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu kabbalas hamalach HaShemayim. There's a lot going on. The first question was again, what's the deeper essential meaning of the Shabbos Mishkan connection? The second question is, what's the meaning of this medrash that Hilcha Shabbos b'Shabbos is somehow a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, Yimamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mishkan, Melech, what does that have to do with Shabbos? So it's something, this final presentation of Shabbos in Chumash, this presentation of Shabbos in the context of Mishkan, Shabbos teaching us Malach in the context of Mishkan, Parshas Vayakel, what's it meant to tell us? What does it tell us about the essence of Shabbos? Now we're obviously not going to finish this tonight, but I'd like to see a little bit more, and at least present the first major concept that he lays down in beginning to build a framework of ideas that, among other things, will help us to answer our opening questions. He points to a Tikkuni Zohar that draws a connection between Lamatas Melachos and the 39 Klolos that appear in Parashas Bereishis, the Klolos that Kadosh Baruch Hu curses the Adam and Chava, the Nachash and the Earth. The curses and braces somehow correspond to Lamatas Melachos. That's interesting. That requires some understanding. Somehow, the story of Eitz Hadas is meant to give us insight into Shabbos. So Shabbos connects to Mishkan. Shabbos connects to Ol Malchus Shamayim. And Shabbos, somehow, Melachos Shabbos is intertwined with the story of the Eitz Hadas. So he says, we want to understand this. We're going to need to go back to basics. We need to go back to the Eitz Hadas. And he opens this Eitz Hadas exhibit where he lets begin to explore the Eitz Hadas, which is definitely one of the more mysterious stories in Chumash. So much we don't begin to think about it. You know, many of us had the schus to learn Parshas Bereishis as children. Every bracha has its costs. It's an incredible bracha to have gotten a Jewish education from a young age. A cost sometimes that their ideas that we met as children and had an age appropriate understanding of as a child. We appropriately had a 6-year-old's understanding of Parshas Bereishis when we were 6 years old. But it's too easy to fall into the trap of remaining sort of coasting for a lifetime with a 6-year-old's understanding of Adam and Chava. And that's dangerous. I may have shared with some of you in the past the mashal that I believe Yaakov Kamenetsky, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of Tar V'Das, shared, one of the great Talmid Chacham and wise men of late 20th century America, Yaakov Kamenetsky. So he spoke about this in the context of a tzitzis party. So you imagine a 3-year-old. You know, by Chassidim, they make a chalaka, they make an upshon. The boy turns 3, so they make a party for the hasharas ha-peis. You cut off all the hair, but you leave the peis. So by non-Chassidim, our family's practice is not to make a upshon, but you celebrate the mitzvahs that the child starts at that time. You make a tzitzis party. The child is 3, and he's physically ready. So you nishem to mitzvah tzitzis, you mechach him to mitzvah tzitzis, you make a tzitzis party. Imagine what a tzitzis party looks like. And the kid gets on, a little 3-year-old gets on a chair, and he takes a little pair of tzitzis, and the size 3 tzitzis, and it has a puff paint picture of the mitzvah train, or whatever it's decorated with, and he makes a brachy, puts on the tzitzis, and everyone claps, and everyone's excited, and appropriately so. There's a lot to celebrate. But if the boy is no longer 3, but he's now 13 or 23 or 53, still wearing that size 3 tzitzis with the mitzvah train, which by now is choking him around the neck, it's obviously nothing left to celebrate. Right? It's pretty obvious, because it's obvious to us that the physical aspects of our Avos Hashem need to grow and mature as we grow up. Rabbi Yaakov pointed out that it's less obvious, but far more important, that the mental, emotional, intellectual, spiritual aspects of Avos Hashem have to mature with us as we grow older. And a 6-year-old's understanding of Eitz Hadas is appropriate when you're 6. But if you're 36 or 66 or 96, so one needs to obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Bereishis for children, and obviously he did not give Bereishis just for children. So what are we to make of the Eitz Hadas? And what happens before, after? Let me leave you for now with the Rambam's approach. In the second chapter of the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam points out, and this will open us up to the fuller conversation that Chaim Friedlander has about the Eitz Hadas, which we'll pick up with next week in Mitzvah Hashem. The Rambam asks in the Mora, Mechelek Aleph Perek Bey, is a simple and very penetrating question. Eitz Hadas Tovara is the original machos, or the original Aveira, original sin, right? Was to eat, Adam and Chava were not supposed to consume the fruit of what? The tree of knowing good and evil. The Rambam says, what's wrong with that? Isn't that a good thing? Das. Rambam, certainly, would say, the most basic mitzvahs are Yedias Hashem. Knowledge, understanding, rational thinking, these are some of the greatest, most central gifts that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Some of the most basic central tools we have in our Avos Hashem. Why is knowledge a bad thing? Moral knowledge, Das Tovara, isn't that front and center in our Avos Hashem? Why was, of all the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Adam and Chava to avoid, why do you want them to avoid Das Tovara? Strange. So the Rambam, I'm going to leave you with this kernel to chew on, to mull over, to percolate over the course of the week. Rambam writes that, when we talk about, you wouldn't say that 2 plus 2 equals 4 is good. We wouldn't say that 2 plus 2 equals 5 is bad. We would say 2 plus 2 equals 4 is true. 2 plus 2 equals 5 is false. Right? It's yes or no, true or false, real or unreal. So Rambam writes that in the pre-chet state, in the original pristine state of Adam Kodem Achet, that was true for moral values as well. It wasn't that murder was bad. It was more fundamentally false. There was such clarity that Adam had, Kodem Achet, about right and wrong, that it was a question of true or false. In ways that don't even make sense to us, but moral truths were so clear. Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra was a step down. Now instead of being Emes and Sheker, it would just be Tov V'Ra. It was no longer that crystal clear, this is true and that is false. This is the right way to live and that's the wrong. This is the true way to live and that's the false way to live. Now it felt a little hazier. It was good and bad. That was Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. It was a step away from absolute, pristine, crystal clear moral clarity. And we'll see next time here at Hashem. Reb Chaim Friedland is going to develop this based on several other svarim, the Ramchal and Das Tavunos, and Reb Chaim Mivolozhin and Nefesh HaChaim, and Reb Chaim Friedland's Rebbe, Rav Dessler, could develop along the lines of the Rambam what was the impact, what was Adam Kodem Achet, and what was Adam Acher Achet. He's going to talk next time about a fascinating Agadah in Masachah Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes. Gemara there describes Adam Kodem Achet, he's sitting in Gan Eden, and Malachi Ashares, they're grilling meat for him and straining wine. What does that mean? Often you think it means that Malachim were providing every luxury for him. He had grilled, he had the Malachim as beck and call. It was the ultimate Pesach program. Right? The meat is just always there. 2 o'clock in the morning, your steak is waiting for you. 3 o'clock in the morning, your glass of wine is waiting for you. So no, there's much more going on there. We'll Mirshem next time, we'll see how he reads an Agadata with nuance and sophistication. And we're going to dive deep, Mirshem, next time, into the sugya, as it were, of the Eitz Hadas, beginning with the insight that Rama already gave us, that there was a lack of clarity was introduced. And from that, we'll come back to appreciate something about Shabbos. Once you understand what the first chet did to us morally, spiritually, what it was that we lost at the time of the chet of Eitz Hadas, we'll discover that Shabbos is a way. Shabbos and Mishkan are both ways of addressing that, and in some way fixing, seeking to fix the chet of the Eitz Hadas, and that will give us greater insight into the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, and into Shabbos itself. So, Mishkan, next time, Belineta, we will pick up by diving more deeply into the world of Eitz Hadas, and from there coming to appreciate Mishkan and Shabbos as well. I both say thank you so much.